The stories you're about to hear come from the 1929 edition of the Burgess Seashore Book for Children by Thornton W. Burgess. It is now in the public domain. This audiobook recording is copyright 2025 and read for you by Tom Weiss. I'm delighted to share these timeless seaside tales as we join Burgess' delightful animal friends on their adventure. Preface. The seashore has a natural history all its own. It has been my experience that few of the hosts who seek the seashore every summer have the slightest acquaintance with the life of the beach, the rocks, and the salt marshes. I recall how, as a boy, I was forever picking up things on the shore and asking, "What is this?" and "What is that?" and never finding out. The sand dollar I knew as such. No one ever told me that it was an urchin. I suspect that it is much the same way with the children of today. It is to meet what seems to me a real need that this volume has been prepared. It makes no pretense of being more than it really is, an introduction to the life of the seashore. Like its predecessors in this series, the Burgess Bird Book for Children, the Burgess Animal Book for Children, and the Burgess Flower Book for Children, it is intended to be at once a storybook and a handbook within its limitations. In its preparation, those things most frequently seen along the Atlantic coast have been selected. A few of the rarer species have been added. The book does not pretend to cover in any degree of fullness the life of the seashore. It covers those things most likely to catch the eye and interest of a child, and does this in a way to make identification easily possible. It is hoped that it will arouse sufficient interest to lead the reader to desire to know more and to seek the knowledge in more scientific and complete works. As in previous volumes, the use of scientific names has been avoided in the text where they have no place for children. These scientific names and scientific descriptions of the various subjects treated in the book will be found in the appendix. It is offered with the hope that between its covers, many little folk and some older ones may find pleasure and the answers to many perplexing questions. Thornton W. Burgess. Chapter 1. Danny Meadow Mouse Goes to the Seashore. Travel will, I think, you'll find, greatly broaden out the mind. Danny Meadow Mouse. Danny Meadow Mouse has his share of curiosity. In fact, I doubt if there is but one among all the little people of the Green Meadows and the Green Forest who is without curiosity. Just now the thing that Danny was curious about was the thing that the little people called the man bird. It was, of course, an airplane. And it had landed on the Green Meadows very near the home of Danny and Natty Meadow Mouse. At first it had filled them both with a great fear, but it had remained there without moving. And without sound for a day and a night, Danny became more curious than timid. He had discovered for himself that this man-bird was not a live creature. He had discovered that when none of those great two-legged creatures called men were about, this great bird-like thing was powerless and wholly harmless. He was possessed of a great longing to climb up to it. He wanted to go all over it. But try as he would, he could find no way of climbing in. After the landing of the machine, the aviator had taken a mass of cotton waste to wipe off the engine, and this he had tossed down on the ground when he was through with it. Now, that cotton waste was just the nicest material in all the great world for a meadow mouse bed. Danny had found it and had curled up in the middle of it after he had given up trying to climb up into that man bird. In fact, Danny was sound asleep there when the aviator returned to his machine the next day. He saw the cotton waste on the ground and, picking it up, tossed it into the cockpit of the airplane. And with it, of course, went Danny. Never was there a more frightened mouse than Danny Meadow Mouse. It had all happened so quickly that Danny didn't have the least idea what had happened. Now he found himself in a strange place, and his one thought was to get out of sight. He scrambled out of the cotton waste. Right in front of him was a dark place. Danny darted into it. He was in a little cupboard in which was more of that cotton waste. Danny crept under it, and his little heart went pit-a-pat, pit-a-pat with fright. A few minutes later, it almost stopped pit-a-patting. There was such a terrible noise, such a noise Danny had never heard, excepting when there was a thunderstorm. But this was worse than thunder, for it didn't stop. It was such a great noise that Danny didn't even hear the slamming of the little cupboard door when the aviator climbed in. 2 minutes later, Danny Meadow Mouse was up in the air. He didn't know it, but he was up in the air, being carried away in that little cupboard of the airplane. For a long time, Danny was too frightened by that terrible noise to even wonder where he was. He just made himself as small as possible at the back of that little cupboard under the cotton waste and wondered what would happen next. He whimpered and cried a little, for he was a very little fellow, you know, and he was a prisoner. He felt the trembling of his prison, which was the vibration from the engine, and he in turn trembled. By and by, after what seemed to Danny a very long time, but really was only a little more than half an hour, that terrible noise ceased as suddenly as it had begun. There was a gentle bump or two, and then the great man bird came to a stop. Danny heard the voice of the aviator, and the voices of other people who gathered around. Presently, the aviator opened a little cupboard door and pulled out some of that cotton waste. He didn't discover Danny, but he did leave the little door open. Danny drew a long breath of the fresh air, and then he sniffed. The air was different from any air he had ever known before. He ran his tongue along his lips, and he tasted salt. Now, Danny was as eager to get out as ever he had been to get in that great man bird. It seemed to him that those people never would go away. At last, Danny no longer heard voices. He ventured to poke his head out. Then he went out altogether. There was no one in the great man bird. Danny ran all about inside, for once more his curiosity had possession of him. Then he climbed up where he could look out on the great world, and he caught his breath. It wasn't at all the great world he was used to. In two directions, as far as he could see, was shining sand. In front of him was water. He had never dreamed there could be so much water. It stretched away and away until it seemed to meet the sky. Back of him was what looked much like the old pasture at home. In the distance, he could see the houses of those two-legged creatures called men. The sight of that water reminded Danny that he was very, very thirsty. He wanted a drink, and he wanted it right away. Not far off, he saw a little puddle of water. Anxiously, he looked this way and that way. He saw no one to be afraid of. He jumped down from the airplane and ran swiftly through the coarse, stiff grass growing out of the sand. When he reached that puddle, he plunged his little nose in the water. He took one good swallow, and then such a wry face as he made. My, my, my. Such a wry face as Danny Meadow Mouse did make. You see, that water was salt. Danny was at the seashore. He didn't know it, but that is where he was. Bah! Exclaimed Danny in his squeaky little voice, and a disgusted little voice it was. Then he ran back into the grass, for he didn't dare stay out there in the open. That taste of salt water made him even thirstier than before. Now what shall I do? Thought Danny. I just must have food and water. I'll have to go exploring. So Danny went exploring. Presently he came to a bathhouse, although, of course, he didn't know it was a bathhouse. There was fresh water there, sweet fresh water dripping from a faucet. A very little was all Danny needed. When he had had that little, he felt like a new Meadow Mouse. he crept under the bathhouse. That seemed to be the safest place. He decided he would stay there a while. He was filled with the spirit of adventure. Curiously enough, he never once thought of home. He didn't even wonder if he would ever get back there. Now that he was out in the great world, he wanted to see more of it. "There must be a lot to see here," said Danny right out loud in that funny, squeaky voice of his. "There is," said another voice close to him. It gave him such a start that he almost squealed aloud. When he discovered who the speaker was, he was more startled than before. It was a member of the skunk family. Yes, sir. It was a member of the skunk family. His coat was nearly all black. Danny scurried across to the other side, for he knew that a plump meadow mouse is sometimes enjoyed by members of the skunk family.
Who are you?" squeaked Danny.
"I'm Jimmy Skunk," replied his neighbor.
"You're not either," squeaked Danny.
"I left Jimmy Skunk back at Farmer Brown's, and he has a big white stripe down the middle of his back." "That's all right," replied the stranger good-naturedly. "I may not be the Jimmy Skunk you know, but I'm Jimmy just the same. Anyway, that is what they call me." "Who are you, and where are you from?"
"I'm Danny Meadow Mouse, and I came from the Green Meadows," replied Danny. And then he told how he happened to be there.
"Are you going to stay?" asked Jimmy. "If you never have been to the seashore, there is a lot to see here."
I should like to see it," replied Danny. "I know all about the Green Meadows, but I don't know anything about the seashore. I don't know what to be afraid of or what enemies to watch out for."
"Oh," replied Jimmy, "just you stay near me. Then you won't have anything to be afraid of." He spoke just as Jimmy Skunk back on the Green Meadows always spoke. It was clear to Danny that this Jimmy was just as independent as the other Jimmy.
"I guess it runs in the family," thought Danny.
Aloud he said, "Aren't there any hawks here?"
"Oh, there's one of them now and then," replied Jimmy carelessly.
"Aren't there any owls?" asked Danny.
"I suppose so, but they don't bother me," replied Jimmy.
"And what about foxes?" demanded Danny.
"Oh, there are foxes," replied Jimmy Skunk. "You don't suppose with such good living as can be found along the seashore, there would be no foxes, do you? But don't worry, just keep along with me and there'll be nothing to fear."